Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week, it's all about NBA. Just over the last week's scores, any NBA news sort of coming out. We thought we'd do also, it's way too early. I'm calling it the way too early player awards.
It is the way too early player awards.
And just to see it, we'll revisit it probably after sometime, I guess, after the All-Star break, just to see how we're going.
This is all because I said I hated the word early MVP, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly why.
Awesome.
And other little bits and pieces. So, but I think what did you want to start off with tonight?
Well, just sort of listening to the radio during the week, and I've got a nice little nugget to sort of start off with this week. The beginning of this week was the 15th year anniversary of the Malice in the Palace. If you don't remember, if you're an NBA fan and you don't remember Malice in the Palace, then you might be a bit of a recent NBA fan. But for those sort of old fogies like us, it was got a little heated.
I wouldn't say old fogies. We're just more seasoned with the basketball.
A bit more seasoned when it comes to the NBA. But a game between the Indiana Pacers and the Detroit Pistons got a little out of hand at the Palace of Auburn Hills in Detroit, and some punches thrown and some a little bit of crowd activity and
so basically it was right at the end of the game, which is even the worst thing. It was pretty cool. The game was nearly over.
There was only like a minute and a half left, I think, or 2 minutes left.
And I remember Ben Wallace was fouled from behind by Ron Artest, and it was
Jermaine O'Neal. It was just a playoff. It was like a playoff sort of foul. Like, it wasn't hard. It wasn't, you know, anything untoward or anything. And Ben Wallace just, man, did he lead? He just lost it.
But these are all little bits I'm reading now. But it wasn't a full on foul. But Wallace later said that Artest had warned him he would hit him. So that push from Ben Wallace started it all. That push, these happen on the basketball courts. And they, you know, they all got in, and you know, little bits were happening, and I think it was just so Ron Artest didn't want to be involved.
He was laying on the scorer's table, you know, sort of in a model pose with his arm up behind his ear, and and then all of a sudden a beer comes, and it was a top shot. Like, whoever the guy that threw it, like, got the desired, probably not so much the desired result, but he hit him. Like, he must have done it. He's done all right to actually hit him. Like, you know, if the beer doesn't hit him, does, you know, this get escalated as far as what it does? But it was a perfect shot.
It escalated. So Ron, and of all this, like, I mean, there's a lot that happens. You'd have to watch it. If you just literally go on YouTube, Malice in the Palace. I mean, it's old school recording, but. Man, it's about 2 minutes of just full on fight. So yeah,
it's Ron insane. Artest, like, you just say to think that actually happened in an NBA game is just crazy.
So he's got hit, and then he's gone into the crowd. He firstly hit the wrong person that he thought threw the cup at him. He's attacked someone else.
He was never going to be able to get the right person because his back was turned.
So he thought he hit the wrong guy, but then the guy come from behind him was actually the guy that hit him.
Oh yeah, dog shot at him, and then Travis Best gets up in the crowd. He starts going at it, and the thing that I sort of, you know, obviously, but the beer hitting Ron Artest, but the one thing that I remember the most was down on the court itself was just some buffoon must have been in one of the front couple of rows. Actually walks out onto the court, shapes up to Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, squares up. Jermaine O'Neal, ridiculous.
Yeah, and Jermaine O'Neal is a 7-footer.
Six.
And he wasn't exactly a small dude. I think he just drops it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was 6'10" or something, and he's like 250, 260. And this guy's
awesome.
this guy is probably 4 foot five, still with the 260 pounds. So it was, yeah, it was like, it was ridiculous. I just found that, I mean, obviously there was a lot of player fines and player suspension and all that.
Larry Brown was getting on the arena's microphone and everything and telling everyone to calm down. You know, this isn't what we do. Like, you know, everybody just settled down. Like, Larry Brown was the coach of the Pistons, and yeah, it's, I mean, he's over the loudspeaker in the arena, and he's trying to get people to calm down, and it just wasn't happening.
It wasn't happening, but it was the fans, the fan, and that's all Carlos was trying to get out. I don't remember. I'm assuming the fans obviously got lifetime bans and that, but you don't really hear much about them compared to the actual, you know, like your Ron Artest, your Jermaine O'Neal, your Steve Jackson, and all that. So anyway, yeah, it's great to watch. You just YouTube it. It's full on.
It's full on. It just doesn't. I've got a funny feeling too that Mike Breen, who does commentary for the NBA, does it for Madison Square Garden and ESPN. I'm pretty sure Mike Breen was on the call.
I believe that's correct.
I don't know who the color commentator was.
No, it was sportscaster Mike Breen was calling the game for ESPN.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Mike. Yeah, that's, I mean, it just, yeah, very very familiar voice to hear the chaos.
So that was a good start. That was a really good start. talking about, I guess, last week's sort of games. I don't remember had any fighting in it. It's funny this. I mean, we'll talk about last week's games, but it's funny this, when I'm watching like games now, it doesn't seem to really heat up properly until the finals. And it's, for some reason, everybody just clicks in finals, as in they snap, and then, like, you know, finals are on the line, and there's way more fights in finals in the last two or three years than I've ever seen in basketball.
Well, besides the little rumble that we had between Karl Anthony Towns and Joel Embiid, who clearly don't like each other very much, but they all want to go on about, you know, the regular season, how it doesn't mean anything and blah blah blah. The only problem is it starts to mean things after the All-Star break. All of a sudden, it's now everybody's record starts to matter. It's just like, well, if you made this sort of focus at the start of the year and didn't drop games that you probably shouldn't have at the start of the year, then the pressure's not on at the end of the year after the All-Star break. You've got 30, you know, when you got 30-odd games left. Like, it all matters.
It does all. Yeah, you're right. It all matters. But I don't know. I just seem to know. Well, I definitely notice it more at the finals.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, playoffs, yeah. But sure, playoffs is on the, you know, it's on the line. It's win or go home. You know, it's not that, you know, not an NCAA tournament type thing where you lose and you finish. But, you know, it's you know, win the series and your season continues on.
With the games last week, I'm going to sort of I sort of looked at, I mean, there's a few games that stood out, but with the games for me particularly, I was really just going to I guess pick on teams, so to speak, that I feel like are under just underperforming, and then it's probably you as well, but the first one that clearly stands out to me is the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, man, San Antonio, like, well, and to say that, like, nothing, you know, nothing cures the ails of what do they lose, seven on the trot. Nothing cures the ails of a seven game losing streak than playing the New York Knicks. And yeah, they won. I think they played them on Sunday. So,
and they just beat it. But so yeah,
yeah, exactly. Okay, so they only just got the job done. But a win's a win.
Before that, they were beaten. You know, like, you're right. They lost seven in a row, and they were in the games, but nothing. It didn't seem, except for the Magic game, it didn't seem very comprehensively I guess they just. That didn't stand out to me in terms of that they never looked like they were going to win. in San Antonio
Spurs. And just think about what you said there, the magic. We're talking about the Orlando Magic.
Here, that's exactly right. We are talking about Orlando Magic, but, I mean, the Magic just beat them, but the Magic beat them. So you're right. We're talking about the Orlando Magic. What do you think? Is there something going on there, or is it just...
I don't know. I think we've sort of said it in earlier sort of pods that is Pop tired already? Like, you know, he basically worked the whole American summer with the national team and everything. I think the biggest concern for them, I think, is their two stars. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is sort of, he may have lost a little bit of a step. Offensively, he still produces, but I think him and DeMar DeRozan as well, like, teams abuse him on pick and rolls and stuff like that, you know, to try and get the mismatches and everything like that. So not so much a defensive liability, but, you know, the things that Popovich sort of teaches is defense. So that's a main part of his sort of coaching philosophy. And if they're not getting the job done, then, you know, it's across the league at the moment. If you have a look at each team's plus minus, not so much their plus minus, but their points per game and their opponent's points per game, everybody is averaging over 100, and opponent's points per game is over 100. So scoring. Yeah. It's gone on in the last probably three years or so. Like the scoring explosion is continuing this year, and teams can't even hold other teams under 100 points, like, consistently.
Except for the Mavericks last week. That was the biggest game that stood out to me. Is the Mavericks held the hapless Warriors under 100, but they beat the Warriors by 48 points.
So, apparently it was their biggest loss, the Warriors' biggest loss in like 30 years.
Luka had more points than the Warriors in the first quarter than the entire Warriors team, Luka Doncic. So,
he had like a triple double in 26 minutes.
Yes, 35 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists in 26 minutes.
26 minutes.
So we'll touch on him later, but I think it just stood out to me because I know the Warriors do not, like, if you look at their starting five, it's just not a starting five that we're used to seeing from the Warriors. So yes, unfortunately for them, except for Eric Paschal, Paschal is playing well. They're inadvertently tanking because they just don't have anybody.
All, they're all young, and you know that's. I mean, this is only gonna benefit them, I think, you know, in the years to come, giving these guys decent experience. So, and if they do end up having the best chance of getting the number one pick next year, then oof, look out.
They in that game as well. I think a little bit of a resurgence. I mean, Dallas are playing good, and they should. I mean, we're talking early, but they're playing well enough to make the finals. But Tim Hardaway Jr. Had a great game in that game. Scored 20 points, but just his field goal percentage, 6-7, 4-4 from the 3-point, and 4 out of 5 free throws. So
that's a rather uncharacteristic performance, because he's kind of a volume-ish shooter and a little bit inefficient. So for him to have a game like that, I think today actually he had 31 against Houston. So he's playing well this week.
He is playing well this week, and I just think I've noticed with him, like you said with that game today, is I think he's a volume shooter, but I think the way Luka and Kristaps playing, because they'll get the bulk of the ball, he's really just setting his shot, like he's really thinking about more of his shots instead of just taking the shot, because he doesn't have to be the first person to take the shot.
No, that's right. He doesn't have to be the man, you know. He can take what he gets. You know, Luke is a pretty good distributor, and I think Porzingis is an underrated passer as well. So, you know, he should get a lot more sort of, you know, open looks than what he's had previously. You know, when he stops you know, his two stops in New York, you know, his stop in Atlanta for a little while. So it's a good situation for him.
It's a good situation for the Mavericks. Like and then other well, game before five,
yeah. yeah. They've won five straight.
And the last one they beat was the a decent side in the Houston Rockets with another massive in Houston high scoring affair that one 137-123. But we said there was not much defense on show in that game.
No, well Clint Capella had a 2020 game. He had 21 points, 22 rebounds. But the thing for me out of that game, out of Houston's 123 points, they had 11 points off the bench. Like that's not good at all. That's it's not scary. That's not a good recipe. Like they've been pretty good, for their decent sort of. They've got a decent starting five, obviously with Russ and James Harden. And Clint Capella, you know, who's a good sort of rim runner and rebounder and, catches those lobs. He's got two people to catch lobs off now. I guess obviously defensively it was a huge struggle to get 137 points put on him in your own building.
That's right. But just on that, it looks like you're right because they're only really concentrating on their starting five. Except for the starting five, there was only two players on that bench that played over 20 minutes, and that was Austin Rivers and Ben McLemore. So they're not really – it's hard to give points to the bench when they're not even putting the bench on.
No, that's right. Yeah, Ben McLemore's sort of been – you know, he was a high sort of draft pick for the Kings. Oh, this is a few years ago now, probably four or five years ago. And he just hasn't quite sort of lived up to the high billing of what he was drafted at.
No, I think he was touted. He was a very like energetic sort of a high octane sort of player. And then they had a decent 3-point shot, and they were talking him up, Sacramento. I remember that because they traded up or that's who they wanted. And yeah, that he you're right. I don't think he's lived up to his draft type.
Yeah, well we've had a good sample size of him now. We've had I think it's been probably been 5 years of Ben McLemore now, so we kind of know who he is. You know, it's not to say that he's an ordinary, he's a bad player, but for what he was sort of hyped up as, hasn't really lived up to that. For me, neither has Austin Rivers.
No. Austin Rivers
as a high-ish sort of pick, he come out the same year as Anthony Davis.
Really?
Yeah, he was picked in that. Oh, I think I'll get that right. You know, he was in the same draft.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure the New Orleans had AD, then they picked Austin Rivers, and then they got in the second round. They got Darius Miller, who was a pretty high. He was a teammate of Anthony Davis in at Kentucky. Austin Rivers is a Duke Blue Devil. You know, so he was highly touted out of college, and even his few years in New Orleans, he was ordinary.
Yeah, yeah, no, he was ordinary, and even in the Clippers. I mean, his father was there, but I think he was ordinary in that team as well.
Well, you know, he probably got babied a little bit while he was there with with his dad.
Any other sort of games that stood out to you? I mean, there's a few different games, but games that really stood out to you during the week.
If we go back sort of earlier in the week, the Celtics, after they got beaten, beforehand on there, they had a bit of a West Coast trip, beat the Suns. The Suns have started to drop off a little bit. They knocked off the Suns, a little bit. Like I said earlier in the week. So it was like 99-85, which is one of those sort of rare games where it's under 100 points each. So they didn't do too badly on their West Coast swing, but yeah, knocked off the Suns over there to sort of they had a 10 game win streak. Now they're sort of got back on the horse, so to speak. But that was earlier in the week. Also the Wolves. The T-Wolves handing the Jazz their first home loss of the season, 112-102. which was an interesting sort of game. And for me, like with no Andrew Wiggins as well. So you know, Karl Anthony Towns, as I think we mentioned about that last week, how he's cooled off a little bit. Yeah, basically after the suspension from his little rumble with Joel Embiid. But I think he's sort of, for me, he's playing a little bit of lazy offense. He's jacking bulk threes. He thinks he's Klay Thompson out there. So that, I thought that was an interesting game sort of at the start of the week. Like I said, the Jazz losing their first home game of the season. So that was, that was interesting. And the Knicks also getting a little bit of payback on the Cavs. Julius Randle had 30 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. That was a bit of a blowout win, 123-105. So they're just a couple of the games at the start of the week that I found rather interesting. Like we were talking about the San Antonio Spurs. You have the Wizards knocking off the Spurs. Bradley Beal with 33 points. DeMar DeRozan had 31 points in that. But, you know, another one of them high scorers, you know, 138, 132. So the offensive explosion is continuing. The Clippers also on the same night, the Clippers knocked off the Celtics in overtime, but that was in LA, and that was Kawhi Leonard and Paul George's first game together. So they didn't look too bad, continuity wise. You know, Kawhi Leonard sort of had a bit of a quiet game, 17.6 rebounds, and Paul George had 25 points and 8 assists in that game. So, you know, for the Clippers to be able to outlast a team like the Celtics in LA, you know, in that overtime game on the, I think it was a Thursday night. I think it was a TNT game. I thought that was a big-ish sort of game as well. I don't know what you sort of thought about PG and Kawhi in their first game together.
I think it's like any new players playing together, it's going to take a little bit of time playing together. But from just a little bit that I've seen of them together, they're going to be. I think they're going to be scary coming in the finals. Once they work out, you know, well, to me, really, if we go back last year, that they're the same. They're really the same player, the same defensive player, the same offensive player. You know, pretty much the same position, really. But
yeah, I guess so.
Once they've worked, in how I seen it, I mean, we didn't see much of Paul George, I guess, last year, but after that injury. But yeah, I think once they work out how they can play together on the court with the depth, I think they're going to be scary together. I think they'll take longer than a lot of the other players to gel because they are so similar. Like, you know, if I'm comparing, well, I can't really compare James Harden and
Russ.
And I can't because they played together before. But if I just throw Anthony Davis and LeBron out there, they've gelled together super quick.
No, that's right. Well, and that's what LeBron does. You know, he'll do, especially later, you know, later on in his career, he will do his best to try and, you know, with new guys, especially like a superstar like AD, you know, he'll do his best to try and get him involved as much as humanly possible to try and make sure that he's fitting in. Frank Vogel will have to sort of, call it as he sees it. You know, we're drawing up plays for those two, but, you know, LeBron, that's what LeBron does.
I think you're right. That's what LeBron does. I think he doesn't get a lot of credit for that. He's like, he is a pretty selfless person. Like he's leading the league in assists so far this
which
year.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. It is crazy. He's leading the league in assists, which yeah, is absolutely crazy. But with the Clippers, I think, and I'll talk about this sort of guy later, but once those two gel, Lou Williams is just, I think he's too, I mean, he works well off the bench, but he's too good to be on the bench, Lou Williams.
Oh, of course he is.
He's too good to, but, I mean, I don't know if it's just because he's such an impact player. Like, that's where he plays. You know, the few games he's obviously
started. It's got to be team dynamic. Like, you know, this, the same sort of thing, you know, a few years ago, and he's not in the league anymore, which is kind of odd, you know, is Jamal Crawford. You know, it's just the dynamic that it is. He tends to, you know, over the course of the season, tends to be better off the bench.
Well, I mean, and just in that game, I guess, we're talking about the Rockets and Clippers game here, where they played together, Kawhi and Paul and PG. Who then, on that starting five, who then started as a shooting guard? Because it wouldn't have been Mo Harkless. So I'm looking at the small forwards they had Leonard, Harkless, and George. Zubats was center, and Patrick Beverley was point guard. So who was playing shooting guard? Because, no, I mean, I suppose you can't really, just because it says SF next to him, it doesn't mean that, you know, you don't have to be a small forward.
No, not necessarily. And, you know, Kawhi can switch a lot. So can Paul George, you know, when they get in the pick and roll situation. And, you know, those two guys can switch a lot. And even Patrick Beverley, you know, he can guard at least three positions and if not four, you know, he might even be able to guard your smaller type stretch fours and players like that. So, you know, he's a tenacious defender.
Didn't Russ call him out during that game? Ooh, he called him out big time.
That's right. In the Houston game, Russ.
He said Russ basically
was clearly, they've got history.
Yeah, but he come out and said, I think these are all getting fueled. Patrick Beverley is not a good defender.
So maybe not so much against Westbrook himself, because, you know, Westbrook is a pretty hard guy to defend at the best of times.
Yeah, that guy is ridiculous to me. I don't know how anybody can defend him, because he's octane.
Explosiveness, quickness.
His first step is absolutely insane. Like that first step quickness, it is lightning. But they'll take a lot longer, and I mean they'll probably take a lot longer if they're Kawhi's on that so-called dreaded load management. They'll take a lot longer
and Paul George will be he'll be the same. Like they'll have to manage him in at the end of the season when he was at OKC last year. Because last year, you know, Paul George was in the conversation as an MVP candidate. And as the season went on, and then after the All-Star break, he started to tail off. And he started to have those reoccurring shoulder issues. And that told in the playoffs as well.
I'm not sure if you've talked about the Pelicans yet, but I did want to bring them up. Just after this week's effort, I'm not sure if you bring them up yet.
No, you know, I don't want to talk too much.
Oh, no.
But, you know, I don't want to sort of ramble on. But they've won four of their last five. Up until a couple of days ago, like they've lost their last two. Granted, they've been against the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Clippers. So, you know, no real shame in losing to those two teams in Utah and in LA. They got blown out today by the Clippers.
They have been
drastically improved over the last 2 weeks.
Yep, and I think, and speaking of improvement, I think that's where, like, Brandon Ingram, he is so improved this year. That coincides, correct. He's having a wow of a season so far. He's putting up
career highs in everything, in points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah, he's what we'll talk about later. Yeah, he's improved hell of a lot. And he's the go-to guy now,
you know, with New Orleans. Like a lot of people sort of would think that Drew Holiday would probably be the go-to guy, but it's clear that it's Brandon Ingram is the go-to guy. Lonzo Ball's come back from injury and he's coming off the bench. I think just team dynamic. I think, you know, we're starting Drew Holiday and JJ Redick, even while Lonzo was hurt, I think has really changed their lineup. And a guy who's probably doesn't get a lot of the accolades is what some of the other guys do. Kenrich Williams, who everybody sort of says is basically the heart and soul of the team. He hasn't had a great couple of game stretch over the last week or so, but yeah, he's sort of you get down and dirty, can play the three, can play the two. So, you know, he's getting a lot of minutes because he's starting, They're bringing Lonzo Ball off the bench. So how long that continues, I guess we'll wait and see.
Before we move on to some news and that, what did you think? I don't know if you caught any of it, but the what's called the Battle of the New York teams, the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks.
Well, that was the game today, wasn't it?
That was the game today.
Brooklyn won,
103-101. Yeah, that one.
I think was it in Brooklyn or was it at MSG?
No, it was in Brooklyn. It was in Brooklyn.
Well, the Nets have won three straight now.
Yeah, and I think that's on the back of Spencer Dinwiddie. He kind of plays better, and because Kyrie's out at the moment, I think he plays better without Kyrie there.
Kyrie's been out all week, and you know, with that ongoing shoulder injury, and I've just read this afternoon as well that he's going to miss at least two more games. So he's going to miss his return to Cleveland and his return to Boston. So whether that's coincidental or not is, I'll leave that up to you. But he's definitely going to miss the next two games. Yeah, which are in Cleveland and in Boston.
Yeah, of course they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Cleveland one, I thought that was interesting. You would think Cleveland would be over it, but no, not Boston. That would be ridiculous.
Even him just sitting on the bench there in Boston, I think he's going to cop some abuse.
He won't even get cheered just for, like, you know, not being on the Boston Celtics.
Okay, fair enough.
He might get cheered. Who knows?
just one game to sort of, I don't know if you'd sort of seen that insane finish on Sunday. Between the Hornets and the Chicago Bulls. Come down to the last sort of 20 seconds, and I don't know if you sort of see much of that.
How the hell did Zach LaVine get that steal? I still can't work
that out. I have no idea.
It's like he just reefed the ball, but like the other guy just either gave it to him, but
I can't remember who the inbounder was. I don't know if it was. I think it was it Cody Zeller was the inbounder. He throws it into a double team.
He does throw it into a double team.
Already double. I can't think of who the guy that it got stealed off, but that it got stolen off. But it was double team straight. Throws it straight to him.
But it was double team. But the guy still caught. I can't remember who. You're right. We can't remember who. But the guy that caught the ball still had the ball. And that usually means, as I said, you know, it's a foul because the game's nearly over. But I had no idea he wreathed it straight off him, had the smarts to go back and get that three, and that was an insane finish. Zach LaVine's, I don't know, like, I think he's still
49, 49 points, 13 triples.
I think he's still a little bit too hot and cold for me. But that's just
an insane game. You know, we go on with, you know, Doncic getting 40 points plus, you know, James Harden putting up those numbers, but they regularly do it. You know, for it to come from Zach LaVine and for it to him to come off and hit 13 of 17 from downtown and the game winner off a soul stealing, you know, rip. Straight out of the hands, and he just ran straight to the three. He just ran straight to the 3-point line. He had no hesitation in taking.
I love it. Zach soul stealing LaVine. I'm telling you now, he wants to be. If he keeps doing it, he wants to be in the All-Star game at Chicago. That was his goal at the start of the year. That's all he said. He'll be in the dunk, but he said, I want to be in the All-Star game. So
no, that's not going to happen. Sorry, Zach. Wow. That's just
fan votes alone. Like, you know, the players loved him. The players went crazy on Twitter after that game. It just went, like, they all went ballistic.
I'll rubber stamp it right now. Zach LaVine will not be in the All-Star game unless there is just an absolute plethora of Eastern Conference guard injuries, which happened, was it last year or a couple of years ago? Yeah. I think it was team LeBron had about four injuries, and it's possible.
Nothing's possible.
Nikola Vukovic got an All-Star nod last year, so you know that's how deep the Eastern Conference was last year for All-Stars. So
that's right. I'm not ruling it out. I think we'll see how he keeps playing, but I'll rubber stamp it right now. All right, I've got $8:45 p.m. on Monday, the 25th of November. Okay, I'll just hit record on that. Beautiful. Just so I can see if just to rub it in, come All Star.
Yeah, write it down. Take a picture. Yeah.
So a bit of news had come out. The biggest thing, there's a little bit of news. Well, the first thing that really stood out to me, and this was only in the last one or two days, I believe, is the NBA considering a mid-season tournament. Did you read about this one?
I've read bits and pieces about it. Technology has not been very kind to me out at this undisclosed location at work over the last few days. So all I've sort of heard is what's been discussed on ESPN radio, which has been very brief. So, and that's only just because they've been talking about the NFL over the weekend. So all I've sort of heard is an in-season tournament, possibly reducing the regular season to 78 games, which is just, it's four games. Like, that's not going to do anything. If they're going to do it, it's got to be reduced by at least 10.
That's exactly right. That's exactly what I thought.
Four games is going to do nothing to address this resting players or anything. It is just ridiculous. But they're the only two things that I've sort of heard. Oh, something about the seedings with the divisions and things like that. The seedings, I think, if they're going to do a 1-16, is going to be stupid.
So you pretty much had all that the preseason cup was pretty much all right. They wanted to reduce it from 82 games to 78 games, have a mid-season pre-knockout round games that would be part of the regular season schedule. So they're saying that these games would be part of that regular 78-79 game schedule, based on the home and away records in the group stage, and the two team with the next best record would advance into the single elimination knockout round. I didn't really want to say much on the mid-season
Then you've got to screw around with the schedule, because the NBA puts the schedule out for everything.
Basically,
as soon as the finals are finished in June, the schedule comes out in July or sort of early August. So how the hell do you do this sort of round robin, in-season tournament where teams have got to play, where teams change who they have to play according to that, with a record or anything like that? If they've already played, say they have to play a Western Conference team and they've already played those teams already twice, once at home, once away, they have to play them again. Like, is it going to be conference wise? Like, what's it going to be? It's a little vague.
It is a little vague, because then it starts talking about a play-in tournament for the playoffs. Like, it would go something like 2 4-team tournaments featuring the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th seeds in each conference.
And that's ridiculous as well.
The 7th seed would host the 8th, and the winner of that single game earning the 7th spot. The 9th seed would host the 10th seed, with the winner of the game facing the loser of the 7th first 8 matchup for the final playoff spot. So
there's 15 teams in each conference, right? Yeah. 8 teams make the eight of them make the playoffs. So what are you rewarding there? You're not rewarding anything. You're rewarding mediocrity. You can finish 10th. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but if you bring it up just from last year, just in the Eastern Conference, who finished 10th, they might have only had 30 wins.
Yeah.
You can't reward a team with 30 wins a chance to get into the playoffs. Like, that's ridiculous.
I think it is absolutely. I mean, when I read this, I thought, oh, you know, it might be cool, the tournament. The tournament might be cool, but then I read we're only going to lose 4 games from it. So theoretically, the players are going to play over 82-plus games, which is absolutely ridiculous. But secondly, you're right. I think, in my head, I thought, as in like what they should do, I reckon they should leave the same format. If you don't make the top 8 of East, you know, the top 16 teams make it a 30, and that'll leave you with 14 teams, 30 teams?
Yeah, that's right.
They'll leave you with 14 teams. And they have, and then in the, it doesn't have to be in the playoffs, but they, well, I suppose it can be, well, it has to be in the playoffs. But those 14 teams, they have a knockout round robin, so they've got not something to play for, but just, you know, they just, so their state or whatever has got something to cheer for.
There's been talk that those 14 teams that don't make the playoffs have some, I don't know how the hell they would do it, but have some sort of tournament to help their draft status.
And that would be great. I think that would be cool because it's something that they're playing for something. They're playing for like a, you know, at the end of the day.
To help increase their percentage. Because if you finish, if you finish close to the playoffs, then, you know, you realistically only got like a 1 or 2% chance of actually scoring the number one pick. And, you know, to get a top five, it's only like 5%. So they could be play-in games or something like that where you could take percentages off the lower seeded teams and give it to those guys to make it a little bit more even when it comes to the draft.
I would be happy with that purely for the fact of, you know, teams say they don't do it, but inadvertently teams will tank. And if that's just tanking means to get a higher percentage, like if they had a tournament to take some percentage off, I'd be all for that. It'd be awesome to see, like, you know, like you said, a team that battled it out and they won the tournament and picked up an extra 5% where they never had a chance. It'd be awesome
to see. Exactly.
Increasing
those.
It's garbage.
It's just crazy. When they started talking about it last year, to just do the top 16 teams. You know, what happens if, we'll say Brooklyn. We won't say the Knicks. We'll say what happens if Brooklyn, is a two seed and the Dallas Mavericks or the Portland Trailblazers are a 15 seed. So that means that they've got to fly cross country. The reason why, you know, that they changed the playoff format a long time ago to a 2-2-1-1-1 game format. So the two at home, you know, then the lower seed gets the next two at home, then it goes 1-1-1. So they alternate. In that sort of format where you simply can't do that. You have to do what the Major League Baseball do and go back. And even the NBA used to do it back in the day, is have a 2-3-2 format.
Yeah.
So whoever gets the highest seed gets the first two games. The next three games are in the opposition's home building. And then two games at home for the highest seed. They all get private jets and all that sort of stuff, but travel is a big thing, and recovery.
It is.
They say that they're trying to protect the players with trying to, we can't have, you know, back-to-backs, 3 games in 4 days, 4 games in 5 days, things like that. Travel is a thing. And then they want to go to the playoffs and then if they want to keep a 1-1-1, so that means you're flying every day.
Yeah. I think leave it. I think play with the 14 teams, put them in a tournament in the one spot, mind you. I don't think these 14 teams that are battling out for that extra percentages that we were just saying, you know, if they all play in New York or something and they're all there instead of traveling back and forth, like it's just that, you know, one particular team gets all those games. So that'll obviously then, you know, bring a lot, it'll stop the travel. It'll bring more revenue for that team, and more people would go.
Right.
I think it'd be great.
Exactly. But you only have to do like even if you want to make it a series and not so much a knockout tournament, you can make it a 3-game series.
Yeah.
You know, where each team has the opportunity to have a game in their home building, and whoever, you know, whoever the higher seed is or whatever gets that second game in their home building. But that's just, you know, like you said, you know, that's a little bit more revenue. It's like the NIT tournament, what they do for the NCAA. You know, with those teams that don't make the NCAA tournament, they have the NIT tournament, and yep. You know, that sort of gets those lower seeded, you know, teams that didn't make the NCAA tournament. It gives them something to play for.
Yeah, because it'll also get you right, and it also gives those, like on the NCAA side of the things, it also gives those players to shine a bit more for NBA scouts. But no, leave it.
No, that's
it's
right.
Fine. It works. They need to leave it.
There's nothing wrong with the playoff format or anything like they do now. No. It's just
it's the schedule. Like they always have said, it's the schedule, and the schedule's not getting fixed by dropping four games and possibly
four
adding
games
another.
Is nothing.
Well, it's dropping four. It's possibly adding another 10 or 12. You can't tell me if this is just a tournament just for people, just for, like, you know, fans and all that. And mind you, the broadcasters have to say okay to this, because I'm sure they signed deals, you know, all up until for another 4 or 5 or plus years. So they have to say okay to this about the changes as well. But you can't tell me like preseason games. You're not gonna have your best players playing and. A mid-season tournament, you know, just to not win anything, but because they all want to win for an NBA title. It's ridiculous.
No, that's right.
They're not
I don't think it's going to make a whole lot of difference.
I'm sorry we sort of kept going with it, but it was just it's ridiculous. It didn't make a difference. It was the biggest news for me that really annoyed me. So, and I'm glad players or anything is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you know, sort of, you know, for you people out there listening to us, you know, get in touch with us, get on Twitter, get on Facebook, and let us know what you guys think about, you know, these proposed changes to for what the NBA is thinking about. I really don't think it's going to change a whole lot. I really don't.
I might even start a poll, just like, do you agree with the proposed sweeping changes on Facebook? I guarantee I know which way the percentage is going to go.
Well, yeah, it might work for, even if it works for a couple of years, and then, you know, then the teams and that are going to find the little loopholes and everything to try and get around it, and try and, like you said, you know, they're going to try and increase their draft stock and things like that. There's going to be loopholes in it. I'm sure the NBA have got some bright people to sort of, you know, maybe figure these loopholes out, but it'll be like everything. It'll be after a few years, they'll be able to find the loopholes in it, and it'll be just like it was before.
Any other news Shorter wanted to look at before we moved on?
I just thought the one thing that sort of has not so much stood out to me a little bit, but you know, sort of, I guess, you know, he's a former All-Star and everything like that. Like, Blake Griffin has been back for a few games now. I think he's sort of underperformed a little bit for the Pistons. Not so much in the absence. Derrick Rose has come back. He's had some ankle troubles. But Derrick Rose is back now. And obviously, yeah, Blake Griffin probably not looking at his best at the moment. So I'd like to see him sort of pick up his game a little bit, and, you know, try and produce, like, you know, that we all know that he can. You know, he's an All-Star caliber player. And the other player that sort of stood out to me a little bit, that's been, I think very much underperforming, is Miles Turner.
Yeah, he has been injured, but I mean, you're right.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
feel like you're right. He's 100% unperformed for the caliber that. You know, all the hype that he had coming into season with him. But
he's only averaging 13 and 7. Like, he's and with Oladipo being out with that Indiana Pacers side, like, he's got to be the stand-up guy. He just has to be. Yeah, him and Brogdon have got to be those stand-up guys now for Indiana.
Brogdon has been playing well. Brogdon has
been
playing very
great.
Well. I mean, the Indiana Pacers are playing okay. They're not playing what we thought they were playing are going to be at the start of the year. But you're right. Yeah, there's a few a few underperforming sort of players on that team. You're right, the first one was Miles Turner. I mean, up until his injury, he still wasn't performing great.
No. But this there, this lingering injury, an injury layoff for Victor Oladipo, I'm not getting a very good vibe on the amount of games that he's missed, in the last 12 months, since he's sort of gone to Indiana. I'm not sure what's sort of happening there, but he's definitely missed more games that he's played, I think, even in the last 2 years, I think, since he's sort of gone to Indiana, and I think that's sort of stunting them at the moment, because if they get him back, he could be that lightning bolt to charge them up and to make them to be a decent playoff push, especially since they've lost Bogdanovic as well. So they really need Oladipo to come back and to come back healthy.
And with Oladipo, do you think there's sort of something else underlying with him?
Oh, I just don't know. I just don't like, that there was talk that he wasn't going to miss too much of the start of this season. We're already in the fifth week of the season, and he's nowhere. I haven't heard of anything that he's even going to be close to be coming back.
Yeah, but I thought, you're right. They were talking that he's going to return sooner rather than later, but I thought that injury, he ruptured a quad tendon in his knee. I mean, that's, without knowing the whole ins and outs of it, you would think he'd get rushed back straight away, really.
No, of course not. That was the kind of injury that Kawhi Leonard, not so much the same, but Kawhi Leonard, when he forced himself out of San Antonio, was a quad injury, and yeah. That's what they had to manage a lot last year in Toronto. They're obviously not the most great of injury to deal with, but rehab wise, they must be sort of fairly complex as well, because it's a kind of large muscle, so. I guess it must be taking a lot longer to try and get it healed and for him to be healthy.
I'd tip, if it's going to be any time going on the time frame now, I'd tip after All-Star break. It'd have to be.
See, that's 50 games into the season.
Yeah, but we don't know how bad the injury is, and if it's that bad, why come back before the Christmas? It just doesn't make sense to come back early if he doesn't need to. But
well, they're in the mix, they're 9-6
and they're sitting at 6. I mean, a 500 win team, a 500 win team in the East makes the top eight. So
no, exactly. You could probably
a 400 team at the moment is making the top eight in the Magic. So yeah, go for it.
Right. I think the lowest Orlando, did Orlando make the playoffs last year being a 40 win team? So that's two wins under 500. So you could be a 500 team and possibly even get the fifth seed.
Yeah, when a 500 team in the West, in the Minnesota Timberwolves, just scrapes you into the the eight. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got to face the Lakers. No thanks.
Yeah. Any other news before we talk about our early predictions?
No, not really. I just thought I thought it was cool that I'd sort of noticed that this week that a few teams are sort of revealing some throwback jerseys. The Cavs have sort of gone back to a little bit of late 90s throwback jerseys. The Grizz have gone to the expansion team jerseys when they first come into the league. And Utah has gone back to their 1997 all purple, mountain range on the jersey, back to back NBA finals. Jersey type. So I really like the throwbacks that they've done. I'm a little bit sort of underwhelmed at a lot of the teams' city jerseys this year. I think some of it, the Chicago ones look nice. Some of them they're pretty plain and ordinary. I did have a little bit of a laugh at the Dallas Mavericks one, which looks like a bit of a reject from the Fresh Prince of Bel Air
With the
graffiti
spray
type.
paint, this graffiti one, yeah.
But yeah, I think that the best year that they did those the city jerseys was the very first year, which was 3 years. I think this is the third year that they've done them now. I thought the New York Knicks one with the fire department symbol on the front.
That looked awesome.
Yeah, I think that was
just as a shirt line. It looked awesome.
It looked great. It looked great. You know, the Pels all purple one. The Mardi Gras type, like there were some really nice ones out there that first year, and they just haven't, I don't know, they just haven't been able to capture, or not me anyway, I don't know about everybody out there, but
last year's Utah one, that one threw me, that buddy. That wasn't there, the city jersey, that was their alternate jersey that looked like a box of Skittles that just got thrown on there, that orange and yellow.
That is horrible.
I think Chris Webber on that Players Only show on there, when he's seen it, he goes, it just looked like G League jerseys. It was ridiculous. He goes, what are those G League jerseys?
I love C Web. He's the man. C Web and B Diddy on Players Only is the best.
Yeah.
Baron Davis. Oh, man. I miss Baron Davis so much. Oh, man. He's so good.
Pretty decent. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun because, you know, they're talking. I mean, it's not as structured as, like, the inside the NBA, although that's not really structured.
No, of course not. Either, not when you've got somebody like Ernie Johnson sort of mediating everybody. You know, they go a little bit sort of off topic with Shaq and Chuck. But, yeah, players only, they must just have a very – very brief sort of production meeting. It's just like, right, we're just going ad lib and we're just gonna roll with it.
I remember before we move on, I remember that one where Shaq was there and they were all just bagging on the Clippers when the Clippers traded Blake Griffin to the Detroit Pistons. And then they went on for 20 minutes just how the Clippers they retired Blake Griffin's jersey and did the ceremony and everything. And then Shaq spat water everywhere when Chris Webber said, yeah, they did the whole retirement jersey. And then the next day they said, no, we're sorry. They rang the Detroit Pistons and said, yeah, now we're going to look at trading him now. And he just spat his water everywhere. A retirement jersey. And then, no, we'll be right. You'll be able to have him. Don't worry. So,
yeah, no, that's cool. You can have him. That's fine. Yeah, we've got no problems with that. we need more players only.
Award season. So yeah, look, this is way too early, but I think I just like it just to see what we're thinking and where we're at. Just with the player awards. Won't go to the coach of the year because at the moment it's Frank Vogel. But anyway, no. but if we look at sort of all the awards that happen in the NBA at the end of the year, the first
LeBron,
one with the rookie.
Here, LeBron, go out there and just win us games. Here, LeBron and AD, yeah, you take the ball and I'll just take all the credit.
Yeah, all right, whatever. Is that two players out of a starting five, whatever. As of today, would you give the rookie of the year to? I know hard when Zion's not there, so it's a bit hard.
I don't think it's a question. I think that's rather easy. I think it's Ja Morant.
Ja Morant, yeah. After that game, and then he played against the Lakers, which they lost. Yeah, I've seen enough of Ja Morant so far. I mean, Zion's going to be the one that's the only way he's going to be able to overtake him because RJ Barrett is not going to. I mean, that's just not
going
to happen.
RJ Barrett's not going to. He sort of needs a little bit more development and. And, you know, well, I think once, maybe even after the All-Star break, RJ Barrett might sort of break out a little bit. But, you know, I've said it before. I'd be surprised if Zion Williams plays 40 games this year and they're just not going to give the rookie of the year to a guy play 40 games.
I think, and this is an absolute smoky, but I think Kobe White will be a smoky in that. The way, if he keeps playing the way, it'd be a smoky, but I mean, it's a distant second, but it's Ja Morant. I mean, I thought that one was fairly easy.
Yeah, I think it's his to lose.
Sixth Man of the Year.
Well, you, that's, I mean, you sort of, you go with the obvious sort of one in, you know, in Lou Williams. He's so dynamic off the bench. But I think, yeah, see, that's, I mean, sixth man's sort of hard to do at this time of the year as well. Just, you know, a lot of teams with injuries and stuff like that, you know, I guess a lot of teams' rotations are set. But yeah, I think Lou Williams is probably the obvious answer. But you know, like we were talking about before, you know, Tim Hardaway Jr. is coming off the bench a fair bit for Dallas, and I think he's doing really well. If he stays in that bench role, I think he get, like, you know, that could be a bit of a smoky for sixth man of the year if he continues to come off the bench.
Well, I had Lou, because you're right. I mean, you can really pick up Montrezl Harrell even at the moment plays off the bench, is playing so well for the Clippers. Like, you know,
no, that's true.
He could be named up there, but
he's going to be more often than not being off the bench with unless Zubac goes down. But he's going to be that backup center. So he's going to play more games than not off the bench. So I think, yeah, he had like 34 points. He had 34 points against the Pels today. So, you know, kudos to
I had Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I just think it's another one. I think it's lose to lose, but I just think Spencer's playing so well. And once Corey's back, he's clearly a bench player.
He's going back to the bench.
I don't think he's a bench player, but he will be a bench player on that team. And with that team dynamic,
you know, with Kyrie there, Dinwiddie will go back to the bench.
The other one that sort of stood out with me, Gurney, because you mentioned him with the Pels, is, you know, I'd even throw, and it's an absolute smoky, but JJ Redick, you know, he is doing well. Well, he looks like, unless he's going to start now, but he's doing pretty
well. He's clearly a starter. I think now that they've got that they've sort of got that rotation down packed, with JJ and Drew in the backcourt, I think JJ Redick is going to start. I think they tried the Lonzo Ball Drew Holiday backcourt tandem, sort of worked, sort of didn't. But you know, with the injury to Lonzo Ball, that their hand was forced, I think, to play JJ, and it's looked a lot better.
Well, this will be the next ones I think aren't so straightforward, I guess. Defensive Player of the Year.
I think you could go Rudy Gobert. I don't know if he's sort of playing at the level like he has over the last few years. I think Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I think Marcus
Smart could really get Defensive Player of the Year.
He was in my thoughts up until I looked at someone's stats from the Lakers, and his stats are phenomenal at the moment. That's AD.
Think he's going to get Defensive Player of the Year?
Yes, I do.
Well, he's leading the league in blocks too, isn't he?
Yes, and second in rebounds. I don't know. You're right. I think Rudy Gobert's done enough. AD's just.
I would probably put AD over Gobert at the moment.
But you're right. I mean, Marcus Smart is playing for. If anything, he's been the most improved. He's so improved from last year defensively.
That's who I was thinking as well as most improved, simply because now he's become a reliable shooter, and for the way that and also the other one that I was thinking of on the Celtics as well as most improved is Jason Tatum. I think he's taken a huge leap from last year. He can knock down the three consistently. I think that's probably who I'd probably lean towards more is Jason Tatum. But you know, I don't think you can overlook Marcus Smart either as most improved. You know, his defense is always locked down, and he's actually starting to be able to hit those. Those open threes that are being created for him.
I think I had Marcus Smart down there as a short list. and Jason Tatum as well. I see this is it's going to be conflicting, but I at the moment, because I can't see this other guy getting it, even though he's touted to get it. I think Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram. I mean, and I've watched the Lakers all the time. I think Brandon Ingram is playing. Boy, he is. His stats, like you said, he's playing career best stats this year, in every stat, in rebounds and assists.
If he stays healthy,
that's it.
If he stays healthy and that's right, and can stay on the floor and keep these numbers up, then yeah, he could be almost a shoo-in for most improved. Yeah, this is the kind of level that I think the Lakers were hoping for him to get mm-hmm. to.
Yeah.
And now that he's sort of out of the shadow of Hollywood, I think he's starting to shine. He just doesn't look like the kind of guy that has. And you don't have to have a big personality or whatever that to be successful in LA. But have a look at what Kawhi Leonard's doing. But I don't think all the glitz and glamour and everything was sort of to his liking. And now that he's in a fairly small market, well, I think they're the second smallest market in the NBA. I think he's definitely got a chance to shine, and he's taken it with both hands.
Is the most obvious one at the moment? Well, on every sports betting website, is would you count Luka Doncic as the most improved player? I mean, yes. Stats alone, yeah. That was easy.
He could be the MVP and the most improved player.
That's the next one. But at the moment, yeah. So he's second in points at 30.6. He's 12th in rebounds for a small forward, 10.1, and second in assists at 9.8. So, at the moment, I would love Brandon Ingram. I think it'll be Luka Doncic. But if we move on then, obviously, to the MVP. If he doesn't win MVP, he'll win most improved. I still think Giannis is to lose. Giannis has just hit another level.
MVP? I think it's LeBron at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't want to go all out there and say it's LeBron, because LeBron, he's just another. It's like that guy goes in gears every time he goes to a team. So he had the starting of the gear at Cavs, then he stepped up a gear when he went to Miami. Then he changed another gear again when he went back to the Cavs. Look, he didn't have the greatest season last year, but it's a totally different.
Injury derailed him last year, so you can't really sort of take that. You take that with a grain of salt, but it just. What's helping him too is a nice young Anthony Davis to try and keep to try and keep LeBron looking young. I think Anthony Davis is LeBron's oil of Olay to keep LeBron looking young.
That's so the best ever. He's oil of Olay.
I think that's helping. But yeah, with it.
It's not AD anymore. It's Olay Davis. It's OD. No, that's not good.
It's OD.
His points, that's because AD's there. His points this year, exactly. It's still a healthy 20.
His points are down, but rebounds and assists.
He's leading the assists. This is a small forward leader. Is he leading assists? You're right. He's playing point forward, I think, still. I think you're right. He's leading from the front. But yeah, I don't know. I think that's Giannis is to lose, but I can just wait and see. I mean, Luka's just playing balls lights out. But I thought we'd just sort of see how we go sort of towards. This will all probably change after All Star break, obviously.
Once the All Star break comes around, then we can sort of revise our picks.
Well, that'll do it this week for the NBA. Let's call it a section of our podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials on Twitter at The Final Play Pod, SoundCloud. And I did just throw a poll up about the tournament. I'll just throw all of them there about the NBA tournament and what you think, yes or no. I know what I'm voting, but I'm not going to vote. That's on Facebook under The Final Play Podcast.
All righty, that'll do us. Don't forget to to sort of hit us up on those social media platforms, whether it's Facebook or Twitter. We're on Twitter at Final Play Pod. So get a hold of us and let us know what you think. And also let us know what you think about the supposed sweeping changes to the NBA, which are going to be ridiculous. But anyway.
Have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason Ole Smith.
My name's Miles Neutrogena Plum.
Neutrogena. Neutrogena, that's even better.
Gotta cover them wrinkles
peace.
Up.
See ya. See ya.